Amen. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. If not, the text will be on the screen behind me. Tonight is all about what is wisdom and how do we get it? What is wisdom and how do we get it? So let's read. We're going to read the first 7 verses and then we'll get cracking. Starts off saying this, the Proverbs of Solomon. So Solomon is the author. He has quite a legacy. Check this out. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. So it's pretty spectacular legacy. King Solomon, the king of Israel, son of David. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. This is the purpose of this book. This is what it's all about, is to know wisdom and to know instruction and to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It is a book of wise sayings. Solomon wrote most of it, and there were a couple of other contributions from some of his sidekicks. But by and large, this was Solomon's wisdom that he received from the Lord. And it contrasts it throughout the book with the way of the fool. You've got the wise man and you've got the foolish man. And they're constantly being compared and contrasted with one another. Now, I know we've all been in that situation when we wished that we had the advantage of hindsight. Hindsight is a perfect science, don't we say that? Hindsight is one of those great things that we wished we had, particularly when we made the wrong decision. Things we did that we shouldn't have done. Things that we perhaps bought that we shouldn't have bought. Things that we said that we shouldn't have said. And we cannot be too careful with our words, can we? Because too often we use words too freely and then those words begin to use us in the process. So what is wisdom? Is wisdom knowledge? Is wisdom hindsight? Is wisdom foresight? Or is it insight? I think there's elements of truth to all of those. And so it's very difficult to narrow it down. But here's one grasp. This is a definition of sorts. It says this, the application and proper use of knowledge. So wisdom's not just knowledge, it's the application and proper use of knowledge to real life situations. That's what wisdom is. So wisdom is not just knowing what to do and what to say, because sometimes the greatest display of wisdom is to say nothing at all or to do nothing. Sometimes that's the wisest option. In fact, a wise man once said nothing. So, how do we get this wisdom? Well, firstly, you need to know that wisdom is incredibly valuable. It is to be cherished. It is to be prized. And so, the Proverbs itself tell us this in Proverbs 3 from verse 13. It says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Happy are you when you get wisdom. So he's about to build his case here for why you're going to be happy. Wisdom is absolutely crucial. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Check this out. For the gain from her, from wisdom, is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Have you ever thought about wisdom that way? way better than any car you could ever drive. Any car. Better than any house you could ever own. Better than any overseas trip. Better than any blank check. That's what he's saying. It is to be desired above a perfect island with a perfect left and right, peeling off perfectly off the bottom of that island. It's to be desired above all things, he says. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. That's pretty hectic. So, wisdom is to be esteemed. And I think if we think about it, which is what we should do if we're wise, if we consider wisdom, then you begin to realize, hang on, wisdom gives you a new perspective. It doesn't despise riches, it just puts it in its right place. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom doesn't run after things unnecessarily. Wisdom doesn't prize things that will actually not make you happy or satisfied. Wisdom actually puts things in their proper place. Rather than worshiping those things, they are put in their rightful place. So, wisdom is important. Now, how do we understand this book? I'm sure maybe you've dipped into the book of Proverbs once or twice. And it's an interesting book. It is a book that is not like any of the other books in the Bible. It is very different. It is different in this sense that it is a compilation of wise sayings. And there's lots of them, one after the other. And they're kind of just like shotgun. You know, it's just scattered. And you read about one thing, and then you're into the next thing, and then you're into the next thing. And so it goes. And all of it is applicable to real life. And we kind of have these sayings in our own culture. You know, things like, I killed two birds with one stone. Or, no use crying over spilt milk. Or, more haste, less speed. And so it's common to every culture, these kind of colloquial, pithy sayings, wise sayings. The difference, however, is that this is from God. This isn't culturally sourced or kind of culturally developed over time. These are wise principles that are from God for our benefit. They are practical guidelines for how we should live life. Now, the problem is when you treat a proverb like a promise, and you can't treat a proverb, a wise saying, like a promise. A promise is like God saying to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that to the bank. You can stand on it. But a proverb is not in the same category. Now, don't get me wrong. It's still God's word. All of it is from God. But we need to treat it differently. And we see that elsewhere in the Bible. Other parts of Scripture are narrative or story. Other parts are clear teaching and instruction. All of it's from God, but not all of it applies equally or in the same way. Let me give you an example. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we read this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know countless parents who have trained up their children in the ways of the Lord, and as they've gotten older, they've departed from it. Is there a problem with God? God's not true to his word, you could say. The point is, this is not a promise. It's a principle, and it is a wise principle, and it is best practice to train up your children in the ways of the Lord and then pray like mad that they don't depart from it. Let me give you another example. In Proverbs 26, verse 4, we read this, answer not a fool according to his folly. Then in the very next verse, verse 5, we read this, answer a fool according to his folly. So verse 4 says, don't answer a fool. Verse 5 says, answer the fool. So which one is it? Well, it depends on the context because he kind of fills it in like this. He says in verse 4 again, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. The very next line says, lest you be like him yourself. So sometimes it's good just to not answer back, because you might just end up in the same camp as him. You might be frustrated, and so you say something that you shouldn't have said, and you end up looking like a fool just like him. So answer not a fool according to his folly. And then there are other circumstances where you should answer the fool. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. Look at this. Lest he be wise in his own eyes. So give him some perspective. Give him some insight. And so we're dealing with a fairly tricky book here. Let's not just put it down into the category of simple and easy to understand. There's some complexity to the Proverbs, and it needs some helpful reading and interpretation. But all you need to know is that the big goal is that these are wise principles and not promises altogether. So they deal with our practical lives, and they speak into things like family life, into your sexual life, into your financial life. They talk about your heart. They talk about your work. And we're going to be looking at all of these things in the coming weeks. So how do we get this wisdom? If it's so important, how do we get it? Well, if you read all of the Bible, you'll find that there are two ways to get it. First way is you can pray for it, and that's the easy one. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's it. We need to pray. And so you get into a situation, you get into a circumstance, and you pray, and you need wisdom. So God's saying, pray, ask me, and I will give it to you. Now, I think the answer to that is twofold. One is that the Holy Spirit will prompt your heart and will guide you directly. But the other way that he will give you this wisdom, because God's going to give you it. So he's either going to give it to you directly through thoughts that you've never thought, or desires that you've never desired, or insights that you've never thought of, or he's going to give it to you through the second means, and that is this, Proverbs 4 verse 5. Get wisdom. Get it. Do something about it. Get it. Get insight, and do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. So wisdom is to be prayed for and sought. In fact, Proverbs 1 verse 5 says this, let the wise hear and increase in learning. So there is something we must do, guys. Firstly, you can pray, and we should be praying, but then there is something we must do. Wise people hear and increase in learning. Wise people, therefore, are willing to listen. They are teachable, willing to learn. Fools, on the other hand, don't want to be taught anything. In fact, fools are kind of those guys who are know-it-alls, kind of the experts about everything in life. They're unteachable. They don't want to learn. They don't want to hear, as he says here, an increase in learning. So, if you read the Proverbs, you will find that there are three main sources where we are able to do what this proverb is telling us to do, and that is to get wisdom. The three main sources are this. We're going to look at all three. God's Word, God's people, and God's world. Firstly, God's Word. God's Word is the first and primary source of wisdom. As you read this book, you will see that this drum is banged all the time. If you want to grow in wisdom, get into God's Word. Jesus said it himself. He said this in Matthew 4 verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you're going to live life, if you're going to live life to the full, if you're going to live life wisely, then live on the words of God. Dwell there. Feast on them. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you're going to live in the fear of God, if you're going to honor God with your life, then you need to begin with knowledge about God. fools despise wisdom and instruction. So do not despise the wisdom that comes from God and the instruction that comes from God. It is in a book. It is written for us. We need to be devouring this wisdom. Don't despise it. Fools despise the word of God. Fools mock the word of God, not just by saying, oh, it's just a book, but by ignoring it. You ignore this book to your own peril. Fools ignore this book. Wise men eat it. Proverbs 2 verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 7 verse 1 and 2, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Isn't that amazing? Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The Word of God is the first stop. It's the primary source of us gaining wisdom into all of life for how God wants us to live our lives. And here's the deal. It's not that God just wants us to obey Him. He obviously wants that, but He wants something for us. Our obedience produces in us satisfaction, purpose, and meaning. When we live our lives according to the wisdom of God, when we order our steps according to His word, there is meaning to life. There is a sense of purpose, a sense of joy that obedience brings. Charles Spurgeon says this, no man who merely skims the book of God can profit thereby. We must dig and mine until we obtain the hid treasure. Church, I don't know how else to say it to you, but this book cannot collect dust. It must be dug into. It must be mined. It must be poured over. We need to be a people who are in the Word and under the Word, shaped by God's truth. Show yourself to be wise. Feast on this book. Jesus says it this way, Matthew 7, 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You're going to make much of your life? Build your life on his word. You know the contrasting story there. So, where do we get wisdom? God's word. Secondly, God's people. This is amazing. As you read the Proverbs, you're going to see this reference regularly. Go to God's people. The second and secondary source of wisdom comes from the people of God. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says this, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. A wise man will value counsel and correction from others. A foolish man will despise. A foolish man will make a decision and never ask for perspective. Now, you might be sitting there going, I hear you about God's word, but you know what? Sometimes God's word doesn't speak into my situation. Like, I need to decide, should I take this job or that job? Should I go there or should I go there? Lord, your word doesn't say PE or Cape Town. Which one should I take? It doesn't say blonde or brunette, blue eyes or brown eyes. You know, it doesn't speak into those things. And so what do we do? Well, firstly, we go to the Word of God and we get principles. principles that govern our decisions, principles that govern and guide our decisions. But secondly, we go to the people of God. And who are those people? Well, God's put people in your life that you should go to. And they're going to help you, firstly, by saying, have you considered the Word of God? Have you considered what God says about the blonde and the brunette? And then they're going to give you some guidance. And they're going to go, you know what? I know little things about that blue-eyed little girl that maybe you don't know. Oh, okay, tell me. And then you're like, okay, brown it is. And so there's going to be a process, and people are going to help you. So where do you turn? Well, firstly, Proverbs 15, verse 22, just to say this again. Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. C.S. Lewis said this, and this is crucial. The next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. So if you're struggling with your decision-making and you've made some bad decisions in your life, the next best thing to do, obviously pursue wisdom, but to get around some wise people. Get away from the fools who are dragging you down and get around some wise folk. So what do these folk look like? Well, firstly, they're older than you. Old people rock. All right? They are experienced. They've been through the school of hard knocks. They've bought many cars in their lifetime. So before you buy your new one, speak to someone who's bought many. They've bought houses. They've bought dogs. So don't just get wrapped up in the cuteness of that little puppy until you've spoken to someone who's had a few. You get my point. There is wisdom in a council of advisors who are not necessarily your peers, but are older than you. You know what's interesting is you read the Proverbs, the first 9 chapters are a father appealing to his sons. And so there's this connection between son and father. Here's one example, Proverbs 1 verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Hear it, listen to it. And forsake not your mother's teaching. There is wisdom in the counsel of your parents. And if your parents are not Christians, there is still some wisdom there. But find Christian, older, godly, spiritual parents if necessary. The second place we look in terms of God's people is younger people. So we look to older people, but not only, but also younger people, because maybe where older people lack experience, you might have it. Let's think technology. Or it could be that you are just more willing to take risks. And there are some insights that perhaps you have into culture and trends that will be helpful. So get a mixed team on your side. Some older folk and some younger folk. And here's the third one, and don't be shocked, dead people. And I'm not talking about dead people exactly. I'm talking about their books, their writings, church history. So if you need to make a big decision and it's getting complex and it's getting difficult and you don't know if it's left or right or up or down, get some older people to talk to, get some younger people to talk to, and get your head into an old book. C.S. Lewis, again, says this, it is a good rule, after reading a new book, never allow yourself another new one till you have read an old one in between. And his point is this, is that there is nothing new under the sun. And be aware of new ideas or new ways of doing things. And when you read church history and when you read dead guys, you get an insight outside of your generation that is so powerful and so helpful. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. So get into the minds of older people, get into the minds of younger people, and get your mind into some old dead guy's writings, because they will help you immensely. And if you don't know where to start, come and speak to me afterwards. C.S. Lewis, Spurgeon, those guys are a good place to start. Thirdly and lastly, so we look to God's word, God's people, and surprise, surprise, the book of Proverbs tells us this, God's world. God's world. In other words, he's talking about Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day it pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. God's world is a fascinating place, and we can gain incredible insights. The point is this, is that in God's creation, there is common grace that is given to mankind to develop things, to make things, to create medicines, and to get into science and biology and mathematics and accounting. And there is wisdom there. Don't despise that. Don't think that you're too spiritual for some natural things. Use your common sense. All truth is God's truth. The Bible is truth, and there is truth in the world. There is truth in law. There is truth in science. There is truth in medicine. Don't despise it. You despise it to your own peril. One of my favorite aspects to the book of Proverbs is this aspect. He draws on some analogies from the world. Let me give you a couple of examples. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 24. He says this, four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. So I kind of get the idea that, you know, at the end of this book, Solomon's compiling this book. This chapter actually is written by one of his sidekicks. But at the end of this book, he's kind of looking at his friends and his own life, and he's going, you know what? We humans have done a pretty bad job. And he says, you know, there's some small things in creation that actually could teach us some good lessons. So he says, how about this? There are four. There are four things that are really small, but they are exceedingly wise. And they make some people look stupid. He gives an example, verse 25. For example, the ants. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide food in the summer. Duh! Save! I mean, some of you don't know how to save. Some of you don't know how to plan. Some of you don't know how to prioritize. Look at the ants, he says. Get with it. If the ant can do it, you can do it. Secondly, the rock badgers. Check this out, verse 26. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. And then he goes on, and he talks about locusts. And then he talks about lizards. And then he talks about lions and even a rooster. And so he appeals to creation. And I'm saying that the principle here is don't despise the world. Do you know that there was a group of people in the early church called the Gnostics? And they thought that in order to be really spiritual, you would have to despise anything that was worldly or material. So your body, they would kind of beat themselves. You've heard of those guys who would whip themselves because this body was fleshly and all that mattered was the spirit. And so they would beat themselves. Those were the Gnostics. And so they would despise anything that was physical or material. Guys, we are not Gnostics. Yes, we love the spiritual. Yes, we love the scriptures. But there is wisdom in the world. Now, I'm obviously not talking about the evil parts and the destructive parts of society and culture. But in medicine and in nature and in science and in law, there is some truth there that should help us. Here's the last example, Proverbs 6. From verse 6, check this out. Go to the ant. You want some wisdom? I'm sure you got ants at your house. So tomorrow, here's your homework. Go and watch the ant. Look what he says. Look who he's talking to. Go to the ant, O sluggard. And he picks up on this theme quite often because there are lazy people. And it's one thing to be lazy, but you know what often happens with lazy people? They complain about those who do well. They're always moaning about other people who do well. And he's saying, listen, it's your own fault. Go to the ant, you slug. Go to the ant, you sloth, and learn some lessons. Look what he says. Consider her ways. So before you put your finger on the ant and kill it, think, hit pause, and think about that little ant before you destroy it. Because there's some wisdom there that you need to learn from. In our cupboard, we've got this jar of honey, and they're always in the honey. And I'm always killing them quickly. But I'm going to pause tomorrow morning. Before I put that honey on my cereal, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to think, these smart ants, because every morning they sniff out that honey. Go to the ant, you slug. Consider her ways and be wise. Look at this. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, no one over it, no one ruling it, no one telling it what to do, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. In other words, she's preparing for lean times. How long will you lie there, O slug? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Just hitting snooze, you know, all the time. And poverty, he says, will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. In other words, there is wisdom to be gained from nature and from creation. Principles like planning, principles like productivity, principles like delegation, principles like upskilling, multitasking, budgeting, resting, working hard. So how are we doing, church? Are we growing in wisdom? Are we growing in understanding? Are we pursuing wisdom? How are you doing when it comes to God's word? Are you investing time there? Or are you investing all your time in other areas that may not and probably will not produce the same value in terms of wisdom? How are you doing with God's people? Are you connected to God's people? Are you in community with God's people? Or are you just some independent fly-by-night Christian? Are you connected? Do you have a community? Do you have older people in your life, younger people in your life, and dare I say it, dead people in your life? You know what I mean? It's on tape. It's books. Old books. Not new books, because they're going to mess your head up. Old books. Yeah, it's okay to read books, like C.S. Lewis says, you know, but in between every new one, read an old one. So how are we doing? How are we doing in terms of nature and creation? Are we those fundamentalistic Christians that just want to retreat from culture and have nothing to do with the world? That's not biblical Christianity. There's certain things we must reject. Don't get me wrong. There's certain things we must reject and redeem. But we get wisdom from God's word, God's people, God's world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the book of Proverbs, these wise sayings that are in Scripture to help us in terms of our decision-making and guide our lives and give us insight into what really matters in life. And in relationships can be complex and messy and tiring and joyful all at the same time. And we thank you for these proverbs that guide our relationships and guide our conversations and our friendships. And we thank you for these wise sayings, Lord, that you put in your word that guide how we spend our money and how we spend our time and what we worship and what we value. And I pray, Lord, over these next few weeks as we endeavor to get wisdom, that, Lord, we would truly spend time in your word, that you'd give us a new hunger for truth, and that you would give us people in our lives that we can go to consult and to get wisdom and to get insight. And when we're unclear, may we just not rush ahead, but actually ask for help. And so it's my prayer tonight that we would be wise people, that we'd be people that are in the Word and under the Word, that are people that are with God's people, surrounded by God's people, and are people who are in the world, but not of it. Holy Spirit, help us in our pursuit of wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.